Thank you, Brad. If you'd like to take out your paperwork that was shared with you, I will be covering some of the material and expanding on some of it. Other of that material, we'll just glance over and pass on. The pivot position in the Navigators is the area representative. He is the man through whom our ministry is fulfilled in every sense of the word. There may be other men doing parts of the Nav ministry, doing parts of the responsibility of an area rep. But when we think, and I think from what Lauren has said and other leadership, when we talk about the area rep, he is the key man in our position. And maybe you've seen Skip's organizational chart. Let's do the best we can. Got DM here. Man becomes a DM, and then after that he becomes a team leader. I think Sparks in Britain and Europe calls that an LDM, but anyway, we call him a team leader, and becomes a CP, contact point, an area rep. And man, that's it right there. That's a key man. If he gets too many years, isn't too successful, then we make an RD out of him. And then DD and president, then you go on down from there. So, truthfully, I think once a guy has the privilege of carrying a contact point and area rep, particularly area rep responsibility, that he has a choice position, the one that in God's leading and grace, if we get to carry, then it's probably the most privileged and most opportune position we can get into. The Navigator's objective, which Fred had us review, to help fulfill Christ's great commission by making disciples and developing disciples in all nations, is to be carried out primarily by the area representative, because he is involved in every part of our objective. And that objective is to be carried out in an area by an area representative while he develops ministries in all available pools of manpower, that is military, collegiate, layman, or high school, or you could say other, if there are others. And so when we think of an area representative, we think of a man who is in an area, and that all people in that area are fair game. And if he can decide that there's a recruitable pool of manpower there, then he should be developing a ministry there. And so we hear about running two railroads and a trucking line. And then you want to throw a high school ministry in on that. You could say he also should have a short haul air transportation system. So that's kind of the man that we're talking about. And I thought it might help us to really come to a more clearer picture of what an area rep is if we take out a piece of paper and jot down the distinctives of an area rep as opposed to a contact point. That is, compare and contrast the responsibilities of a contact point as opposed to an area rep. And I'd like to suggest that why don't you break into threes. And if you can get someone from another division, fine. In fact, if you want to walk around and, Jim, maybe you'd want to get over here with some of these guys over here. And why don't you just do that right now? Why don't you get together and we'll take a minute and just jot down the responsibilities of a contact point and compare and contrast with an area representative. And in some cases, of course, there'll be the same responsibilities, but there'll be a difference in intensity, in complexity between these two. So if you could do that right now, I'd appreciate it. Now, I realize that you weren't able to finish that, but I felt it might be good for us to begin to get a clear distinction between area representative and contact point, and where the responsibilities are different in type, where they differ in complexity, or where they are different in volume that a person has, or the amount that he does. So let's share some of the things that you feel are significant differences between contact point and your representative. So Dan, would you come up with?
Well, personally, another group is share responsibility to develop staff.
Okay.
And then the other group is that the contact point is more
Okay. Good. I see, David, you had something?
It seemed like the area rep has more of a responsibility to develop geography, whereas the contact point, he zeroes in on one campus, whereas the area rep might go to high school, couples, you know, lay couples,
mm-hmm.
and police.
Good. Okay. Anything else?
On that, it would be the contact point has one pool of manpower to work with an area rep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, other distinctions?
The area rep would be preparing, preparing career plans for the contact.
You bet. Okay, that's true. Yeah, that's a tremendous difference. You're not going to have a contact point supervising contact points. Yeah, that's a giant difference, I'd say. All right. Anyone have another thing you want to mention on your list? Do you feel it's...
Isn't the contact point more or less demonstrating?
Right. 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 Okay, very good. And demonstrate to his own satisfaction as much as anyone else that he can do it. Okay?
The contact point is responsible simply to an area rep, whereas the rep is both responsible and available almost to the navigator connection.
All right, very good. Yeah, I think we have a policy that we don't send anyone but area reps overseas, so that's where that comes from.
Seems like he has to be clear on his call of God to the organization. He has to have a call from God to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the contact point right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Probably depends a little bit on our selection of who we put in contact point. It might vary from place to place. But it is possible for a fellow to at least get that sealed in contact point if he doesn't have it before he comes in. Have you, David, have you been involved in areas where, say, a fellow goes in and he's not sure?
Yeah. We have one contact point that's sure. Uh-huh. Fellow got another one really.
Right. Okay.
It seems like if he... You know, if a man becomes
a
married
refugee,
he's got to have that call.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Anything else? Bruce?
By nature of his activities, to an extent, the area rep becomes more involved
with
PR.
Oh, tremendous. Yeah, right. You said more involved. The contact point has to be somewhat involved. It's got to relate to, and it's sort of the immediate area, I suppose, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Okay, that's tremendous. All right, I had a few other things jotted down that may be part of what you said. Like the contact point, he should be demonstrating in the grassroots ministry. He himself should be involved in a disciple-making ministry for his own welfare, as well as for being a pace sitter in the ministry for his area. And it's very easy to organize yourself out of the grass, out of the ministry. You become a manager and supervisor, and if you've ever done that, you'll soon begin to dry up inside, and it's, personally, I think it's very unhealthy. But it sure knocks your demonstrating what we're trying to produce. And it does seem like an area rep might have a smaller personal ministry than a contact point, especially a new contact point where he is the ministry team and the ministry is done as he does it. Developing girls workers. That'd be in the same category as developing new staff. But if it's not a thing he looks at and wants to do, then he might miss on it. Developing financial support for the worldwide work of the navigators. And from what we've heard here, I think that's become even a greater responsibility of the area rep. Not just for his own area and his division and so on, but actually we're going to have to shoulder more of the load for our overseas works. And then one that may not have been mentioned is help the RD plan, evaluate, and so on in the region. Now that may vary according to the RD and your divisional director and so on, how you organize, but it may be that the RD will call on his area reps far more. I don't know how you guys do out there, Dan, but you may get involved with Stevens far more than your contact points do. So, Jerry?
I have my area reps meet periodically to classify, to discuss people, to discuss career plans, to evaluate, and so they will be involved much more in my thinking than all right. The contact.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot more with that.
Right. All right, there are probably many other responsibilities that we could list, but we'll better press on. Yeah.
I have a question. When do you get that next question?
Fine, Scott, right now.
The first one, the area of responsibility is to develop staff.
Uh-huh.
I think I understand that means that's not
always
responsibility. No. The fact that we're saying is that job is not just to develop staff.
Right. Right. How would you answer that?
Well, one of the things you said is that a contact point is more involved in grassroots. So you put that on the other side of the area, that's like he is involved in grassroots ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So he is being more than involved in staff.
What were they trying to say? The maximum we will hold the contact point accountable for is the disciple maker. Who's the disciple maker?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we don't expect if he doesn't know what the disciple maker is, he will not fail.
Yeah.
We can't expect people. In the Northern Division, if somebody has a contact point, we expect him to produce the disciple maker. That's what we're doing.
Really, he? Yeah, right. He's in a key position to do that. Organizationally and geographically, he's the best man in the organization to do it. He's close enough to the grass and. He's got team leaders, DMs, LDMs coming up. Also, he's got contact points a few miles away. He's the closest guy around and in the grass to do that.
In other words, an RD has, say, 10 areas, and six of them, seven of them are contact points, two of them are area reps. And the RD is going to lean on the area reps to supervise and actually develop the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what?
That's the way I understand it. You have other feeling on that? I think it's important that we be willing to assume that responsibility as an area rep, because an RD is not going to train and help that much. Brad?
With a few exceptions, most contact points will become area reps.
Yeah.
And so the area reps develop.
I think we'll get to that when we talk about developing PCPs and contact points maybe Friday. We'll probably get into that more. David?
Can I ask one question? Just the intensity, maybe the difference in intensity between the area rep and the contact point in the grassroots. Like, okay, the contact point, meeting with a few disciple makers, and he's, you know, he's following up maybe three or four new Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And he's meeting a couple of guys who are disciples. Now, the area rep, I guess we need to understand and control there. Should he have someone there who's following up brand new Christians?
Yeah. I think it's just simply he finds a means for evangelism. By God's grace, he leads people to the Lord. He follows them up and disciples them. Some way or another, in all the flurry of everything else going on. So he personally stays engaged in the Great Commission.
George, would you consider a good plan, like on a base ministry or a college campus, to assign somebody as a team leader? And do you ever, as the area rep, go back out yourself? Yourself under him. You're not really under, but you ever go out and minister with them.
Right.
You don't take over.
No.
It's his team.
Right.
You go out and evangelism with them. In one sense, you still let him be the team leader.
Right. Exactly.
But you go out with them.
Yeah, I'd go out with them, but I don't think I'd sit in a lot of their meetings or be under, you know, and
right.
That, because that makes it real tough on your team leader.
Right.
Right, yeah.
And also, I tell the guys, if I'm going out with them, I want to go out with the key men. I don't want to go with the new guy.
Right. Yeah, so I think it's a good illustration. You've got to be able to do more than one thing at a time, juggle more than one ball, or you can't survive.
Yeah.
I don't think you survive the Christian life. You know,
yeah.
So you got to have some grassroots over here and be evaluating guys on the job and then seeing how your leaders are doing and all at one time.
Do you have any idea, you know, just a span of control? I guess it would depend on the individual. Let's say, well, I'm meeting with some DMs, disciples, and then I've got a new guy following up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing I'm finding is that I'm getting stuck, you know, right on that campus, and I'm not doing effective job with the contact function. So I guess you got to figure out what your span and what your capacity is.
Yeah. It's why don't we get into that in terms of the organization, how you organize, how you plan, how you schedule, and I think we'll get into that in just a little bit. In fact, why don't we move along now and keep that in mind. If you'll flip over to the Roman numeral 3, a lot of the first couple of pages, Brad covered on our means of evaluating and trying to see where the ministry is. In that part 3, develop area ministry plan or develop your strategy for your area. We said, simply stated, an area ministry plan is the application of appropriate resources to the greatest opportunities. That is probably the key. Being able to evaluate your resources as to where we are, and Brad talked a lot about that, and then trying to discern what are the opportunities, where should we start, what's first, and put priorities on opportunities. And that's the area rep's responsibility, because, you know, you've got... Hopefully there's a base somewhere not too far away. There's probably a college campus or two of different types around. You probably got young laymen and college couples. And then there are, of course, high schools. And there are pools of manpower. But the area rep has to have the promises and calling of God and the vision that God has given him to see those as opportunities. And to see how they can be exploited or developed. So why is it so important that he first consider resources before setting his opportunities or deciding on opportunities? That's right, boy. You can't use men you don't have. You can't make team leaders out of guys that are, you know, young disciples. That's right. So our vision you know, and I hope that somehow our guys like that I'm with, I occasionally ask them, what do you envision your area to become, your ministry to become, 2 or 3 years down the road? What do you envision it to become? And boy, that's where we soar, and we see the big picture, and as it plugs into God's strategy for the world and all of humanity. Then we drop down and face reality as to who are your DMs and who are your disciples and who are your resources. And then a plan, a strategy to have the right men, right time, right place, and so on, to bring those two together so that that thing can grow. In this same area here, the basis of ministry objective is a combination of area vision and promises, and that there's where you get to reality, the evaluation of resources. And we must have an accurate evaluation of where the ministry is before we can decide how far in the next ministry period we can expect to progress. A ministry period being a school year, or in a military work maybe a year or some, depending on where you are, your periods where you initiate the ministry and then evaluate and so on. And in an area, of course, you have guys who are co-laboring with you and under your training, they're team leaders, and they assume responsibility for carrying out part of the objectives. And so if we're going to produce 20 new disciples this next ministry period, and I've got 3 team leaders, then those team leaders ought to decide how much of that objective is theirs. And of course, they've been in on it, so it's pretty obvious to them. They've helped write the objective. So, right down the line, the team leaders assume responsibility. Then part 3, written into the objectives, are these midpoint, quarter point times for evaluation. And that is very important, I feel. If we're not achieving our objectives, then we can make adjustments in activities and emphasis and so on if it's soon enough. And if it's not soon enough, then we sort of have to live with what we've got. So the rep has to apply resources to opportunities. And here's Hal Denny's area situation, pretty much as it is now. He's got resources and opportunities all over up there. Why don't you pick out titles as to who would we call resources on that organizational chart for his area? Who are some resources?
Hastings.
Yeah, Hastings is a resource. Team leader?
Yeah, all your team leaders.
All team leaders. Okay. Of course, Hal himself.
Yeah.
And it's when you don't have a guy to do the job, you got to do it yourself. Or in this case, see where we've got it projected. We thought we had a guy, but we're putting him someplace else. So Hal couldn't do that too, so we're not doing it, but it is projected soon. Now, I think it's important to look at an opportunity in light of our navigator objective. Have you ever had an opportunity to minister to a situation or in a situation in which probably no disciples would come out of? Can you think of an opportunity like that? What would it be?
What about this high school? We don't have a high school opportunity,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see a possibility of any disciples.
Mm-hmm. All right, I would say it's your evaluation of it as an opportunity. And I think eventually we'll see how it is.
What's the purpose of looking for an opportunity?
Yeah.
The purpose of an opportunity is a food for what?
Right.
Do I consider a church an opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Do I seek an opportunity in light of making disciples? Or mm-hmm. is it not an opportunity if I don't look at it in light of making disciples?
Right. Okay, there you go. That's part of the criteria of whether it's an opportunity or not from a navigator point of view. There may be social needs and, you know, there's other types of ministry, child evangelism and the people on Skid Row and so on, but pretty much they're not a pool of recruitable manpower. We can't envision them becoming responsible men of God overseas, as, you know, as often as we might see in a collegiate or military situation. So I think the point is that you look for an opportunity where we can make an investment, and not long after the investment begins to mature, it becomes itself an opportunity. So if I'm going to spend time in a pool of manpower, or our guys are, then it, down the road, it has to begin to produce people who are resource as well as opportunity. So in one sense, we're all opportunity, we're all resource, because we're channels through whom the Holy Spirit works. Henriksen helped us last night, and we're an opportunity for Henriksen's ministry, and they have leadership to minister to us. But they don't want it to be dead end, do they? No more than we want to spend weeks and months and years with a guy and not see him reproduce as a resource. So the application of resources to opportunities, and then seeing that become then a resource to be invested back in someplace else. And then in a situation like Hal's, where you have, say we've got a fairly strong collegiate arm of the work, in some areas we've got a very strong military part of the work, other areas of the area haven't been developed, then what we can do is take resources out of this situation and apply them in up to other opportunities and cross over resources. We got an illustration of that. In the last 2 weeks, we had two rallies, two different team leaders who are developing teams among young couples. And their pool of manpower are, we've developed criteria for developing what a pool of manpower is in apartment complexes. And Hal sent a team up to entertain and serve at the rallies, because you've got three or four couples on this training team, and they do all the recruiting and get all the people there. Then if it takes all of them to serve the thing, then they don't get to minister with the people. And so we're crossing over resources. And an area rep has the resources to do that and should be creative in how to do that. Any questions? Bruce?
How do you distinguish between opportunity and activities? Like when we talk about opportunities, I was thinking of an opportunity to speak at a Christian business meeting.
Right.
Well, they're not a target. There wouldn't be an opportunity for it. But it's an activity that I'm going to evaluate where there's value.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I just look at it in terms of a PR responsibility and to minister to the other works in the body of Christ.
Yeah. I may not be able to make disciples
out of that. No, right, right.
But it is an opportunity.
Right, that is true. And you may, you know, there may be one person in that group that really respond, and you could really help them and somehow get them out of it, if God were in that. There is another thing, though. You see, Brad was sharing how the person's gifts and strengths and calling must match up with the navigators and so on. Suppose you were an excellent speaker, and it got to the point where you were traveling all over the countryside. Well, as a navigator, you don't have that privilege. Maybe on your own time, you could, but not as a navigator. Hal, Jeff?
I was going to say the two factors in it would be priority, and also in taking someone with you. He's your opportunity to minister to him.
Yeah. All right, take your own gang. That's what Leroy does. He'd take us along and preach to us, and the church or whoever was around would get the side effect. That's right, Raj. That's right. And boy, an area rep has to be willing to do that. And that's an adjustment for us. We hate to get out of the barracks. We hate to get out of the dorms. As hard as sometimes the grassroots men, you know, get up and get out on that cold. But being willing to assume that responsibility, I think, is an adjustment for us. But an area rep has to do it. I think one of Joy's and I's, our greatest adjustments is not to have our own little gang that you have that deep, deep heart relationship with that you've seen come from conversion, and boy, that's hard to leave. Okay, after you've evaluated resources, you've decided on opportunities or pools of manpower to penetrate, then you've written objectives, then organize your resources to do the work, your people. And that's what, of course, an organizational chart does. Just division of labor and delegation of responsibility and accountability as well. And in this case, you can see how that we have a ministry which is collegiate. It deals with young couples who are in training. It deals with couples who are not in training, who are older and have another relationship, as well as career DMs, or however you wish to title those people. We hope to have a high school ministry very soon, and then he has one contact point that he's supervising. And Hal has to put all that together and make it work.
I'm a little proud of the organizational chart, because it looks like you've got 20 people reporting to you now. So you figure all the relationships, and I know that doesn't make sense.
And well, I've got
you explain that to me.
Right.
How do you train 20 people?
I don't. I've got those three team leaders, 14 leaders there that you see on the poster this week. Contact point, the girl worker, and in the career girl worker, Sherry Randall, on the about a monthly basis. But she reports to Ellen Ashton. And then these others are grassroots ministry, the young couples training team, not really a team. But those are really follow-up Bible studies that I've had there, campus and on-campus.
So what is your span of control, Hal? About 8, 10?
Well, it's about 7, 8.
Mm-hmm. But there's a variation as to the intensity of how much you're involved,
right,
with some of those.
See, the career couples, there is once or twice a month. And so when you get into ministry co-laborers over there, the intensity is much, much less than there is under the collegiate and young couples.
In other words, all the people for which you are a team leader, all you do is have occasional Bible study, but you don't.
Right.
What we hope to develop in our and other places, develop team leaders out of those grassroots ministries. So he would hopefully come up with a team leader, or we'll shift another guy to him.
See, if I have team leaders in there, my center control would be 9.
Yeah, I was just saying, if you plug in more team leaders, the span of control is even wider, and it's even more difficult.
That's true.
See, now, next year, in order to, it'll be completely different, because I'll probably have one man on the WFU campus that reports to me, maybe two, and the others will report to that one or two guys. I'll cut my span of control. That's what I have to work out. And
yeah, you just have to reorganize. And I think, David, you try and put your finger on that. You have to reorganize to get the job done. Change.
I'd like to ask why you have the girls worker placed in that particular position. She looks like either a secretary or an advisor or something other than someone who's doing grassroots ministry.
How? Why did you put her up there?
She's an advisor and for the career girls down there. That's the main reason I put her out there. Rather than the other place, I may have put her. She's an advisor also for each of the team leaders in the collegiate ministry. And she meets man to man with the girl assistants under the campus ministry.
But she isn't leading the team.
She is one of the assistants. She meets with the other two assistants. See where you see team leader, under Oaks. Okay, she's the girl assistant under Oaks. And she is leading the team. She's leading the team there. he meets with the drill assistant, with the two drill assistants, and the career girl team leaders.
But she has two bosses.
Yes.
But that way she does.
Okay, any other questions or comments, or Brad?
It takes on a guy with one that's mastered co labor is just a local term. We have our own definition for it. If you have a hand, you might read it down, you don't have the definition of tenant, so that one's really tough.
I don't know if I have him or not. Ministry co-laborers are contacts who are looking to the NAVS for direction and help, but due to age, calling, or other circumstances do not feel led or qualified to train with a young couple's training team or to train with the NAVS. These people are involved in a navigator-type ministry of evangelism and follow-up and have consented to give us their fruit, their young couples they recruit, when it's mutually agreed on all the way around. Dave Grissom, and then right, and Meterin has. We have a college sophomore in our work now that he followed up, led to Christ, followed up, that kind of thing. But we're doing it. It happens, but we're doing it, trying to do it on purpose. Jerry, do you have another thought? Any other questions or comments?
Would it be right to say then how that although your standard patrol seems like large, but at the advantage of two or three levels, the one level you get the team leaders in the contact point.
Right.
And on the second, a different level, you may have another standard of four or five.
Right. I had five actually on before on a team leader level in one contact point, which is more of a supervisor.
Okay, we'll touch on some of these things you're mentioning now as we get into scheduling and evaluating. If we could turn on over in your pages to Part C where it says Plan Area Schedule. Now you may involve your contact point or points with you in all the steps of developing your ministry for training, but I think it is, at least from my point of view, important not to involve him in your area ministry, because obviously we want him to have the freedom and liberty to develop his own ministry, so we don't want to tie him up in a close organizational tie. It's also, I think, important, and I'm sure you do this, is involve your leadership in all the processes. Maybe after your objectives are pretty well formulated in your own mind, then begin to share and involve your young leadership with you in that so they can see that stuff develop and be in on it. Well, in planning the area schedule, begin with priority number one or objective number one, and I think it's tremendous to sit around with your key guys and say, all right, now here's what God has laid on our hearts and we're praying about. Now, what activities shall we do to accomplish this? And it's the most important thing you're going to do that ministry period. So they can begin to assign, well, say, well, man to man, of course, all right, training session, so on, and they decide what activities. Then you go to the next objective, which is second priority, and so on through your area objectives, and assign activities to each one. And, of course, you find pretty soon that some activities will run all through them. An area rally can accomplish quite a number of things. So after you've decided on the activities that are related to a particular objective, then you get into the schedule, and if you'll turn the page, you'll see exhibit number 5, which is the area rep schedule. Then the problem comes of plugging in all these terrific activities into a schedule, and you run into some reality, some hard things there. And if all we had to do is develop team leaders, why, we'd have a great time, you know, but we don't. And if all we had to do is just to evangelize and follow up and establish a broad base of contact, why, tremendous. We could pour all our resources into that in our time, but obviously you can't. So you get into scheduling, and we've put together a little monthly schedule, and each of these lines is a week, it's a month. And so you begin to plug in your activities into a schedule, you know, on a weekly or a monthly basis. And of course, depending on the maturity of the area, you might do it on a weekly basis. But in some cases, you just have to stretch your week out to 2-week blocks and plan on a 2-week block. In some cases, just start with a month. But this is Hal's situation. For all, these are all of the area activities for the collegiate ministry. And I think it's good to keep in mind that each team leader, blocks of time that are not being used are his to develop his own activities in light of the objectives he has for his team. So these are area-wide activities that just collegians participate in. And you can see they're all put together on your page. Then he works with his ministry co-laborers, and not in this order particularly, but sometime he gets to them and decides what activities are best to help them continue to produce and develop, provides an environment for them. And then the same for these would be military or young couples or what other high school plugs in activities in the area that are for them. Now, can you see an activity that does more than one thing, that serves more than one ministry, that may accomplish more than one objective? What would that be? Seminars, right. How do you have everybody in the area can come to your, as long as they fill the prerequisites, can come to your Saturday morning seminar when you have it?
Right.
Okay. There, so you have grandfathers and grandmothers, new babes, studying scripture memory, and they're all part of one area. Because maybe you gave them a worksheet to do and they filled out and they're ready. And so that helps.
Where it says Bible study prep in blue up there, does that mean that Hal is preparing to meet with his ministry co-laborers in a Bible study, or does that mean that they are preparing their Bible study?
What's that mean, Hal?
No, that's their preparation. You've got another.
Yeah, here's what Hal's involved in personally. These little stars. Every place a star is means that Hal is personally involved in that activity.
Of
how much time do you get with your team?